James 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. So here, the Bible talks about, there's many warnings against obtaining a lot of wealth in the Bible, because, you know, in order to obtain a lot of wealth, typically that's not something that happens on accident. Usually it's an intentional goal, and people who have made money their ambition, you know, the Bible always warns against that, and then warns against the dangers of amassing a lot of wealth. And a lot of, with wealth, with money comes power, and power needs to be wielded a certain way, which is why the Bible, Brother Branham says, power without character, you know, is satanic. So even when God is going to give us the heavenly treasures and power and different things like that, He wants to build the right character in us before He just hands that power over. And the same is true with money. Money is power. It needs to be wielded correctly. But unfortunately, the cases on this earth that many people who amass a large amount of wealth tend to not always have the moral character to properly handle that wealth. And that is a great flaw in, you know, just the way the world is. And the same is here. And the idea of even when in Timothy and Titus, it talks about how, you know, when there's people in the church or elders in the church, they're not to have filthy lucre, which is basically money made by immoral means, or ways that, you know, are contradictory to the Bible, or you know, there's different ways that you can make money that would go against the scriptures, that, you know, they just don't want someone who's an elder or with a position in the church to be involved in before you want to serve the Lord and be an example to the church. There's many warnings against money, and specifically here in verse 4, it says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. So there's the hire of the laborers, and they worked in the field, but maybe these people are being underpaid or abused or taken advantage of in a way by their employers. And James is here warning against that. So it's the warning against the rich and the rich people who do these things. And then goes on to say, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. So it's not just that, it's also just about how you treat people. So when you have money, when you have a lot of wealth, and if you're having people take care of certain things for you because you have a lot to take care of, and it's better to hire people than to do it yourself, then you need to be treating these people the correct way. You need to be treating these people fairly. And that's where a lot of the corruption can come in. So, you know, the people who have made money their ambition, they're willing to rip off or underpay their workers. And those workers who are then suffering in their poverty will often, you know, maybe cry out to God. And it's saying that God will hear those people. And then those people who are in charge of the lower class people would then be judged by how they're treating their employees. And as it says, are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. So it's saying that the cries of these people is being heard. And we know there's many scriptures that talk about how God has preeminence over everything, and vengeance is the Lord's, and we're not supposed to recompense evil for evil, because it's not our job to always get justice or vengeance for something that happened. Really, we leave it in the Lord's hands. So We because we're flesh creatures, we tend to focus on the physical realm, but there's heavenly aspects to what we do on earth. So, you know, these rich people, they may not ever receive, because there's many people who do evil things on earth and they get away with it. But in heaven, there'll be a judgment for in the next life, there'll be a judgment for those people, and those people will receive judgment. So they might not. Now, it might seem that bad people get away with things and they never have to really pay or receive justice for their actions. But God is keeping account of all of these things. And that's why it says their cries enter into the Lord of Sabbath. because God is hearing these things. And regardless of whether or not you see the punishment maybe displayed or take place on earth, God is taking account. God is not going to forget these things. And that it is very important how you treat people. And the same way, you know, Abraham and these other, you know, believers were, they're not looking always to what's on earth, but they're looking to a city whose builder and maker is God, and we're looking for that city. So we're more worried about how we're going to be portrayed in that city than we are about how we're going to be portrayed here on earth. So we're more worried about the heavenly things than just the earthly things. And that's how the people of God should be. So, and the overall lesson of this is to remember that no matter who you are, be careful of how you treat people. Because if someone can get a heavenly reward by giving someone a cup of water, then you can definitely be judged for mistreating someone. So if someone can get a reward for giving you, you know, something or doing something for you, just a kind gesture or something, and they can get a heavenly reward for doing that, imagine the punishment that will be bestowed upon the rich people, the people of authority who then mistreat other people, or even just us as believers. And if we mistreat people, if we're rude to people, if we're not displaying the attributes of Christ, and we get overly upset, or we maybe say some things we shouldn't say, or disrespect people because of, you know, how they look or how they dress or something like that, we need to always watch our motives and how we treat everyone, because God is taking account of all of that. The same way that, you know, these poor people who are being taken advantage of by the richer people, God will hear those accounts. And verse 5, "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." So once again, the condemning, killing the just, and doing things and taking advantage of people and mistreating people who, and as it says, doth not resist you. So those people are not fighting back. These people are not, it's not these people have done anything. These people are innocent, but they're being oppressed by, you know, maybe someone of authority it's really addressing rich people in this stanza, but it can really be anyone, you know, who can be condemned or mistreated. And here he's saying killed the just and different things that are going on, maybe politically at this time, to the Jews and Christians. But you see, he's saying watch the spiritual realm. We're always looking at the natural realm, but watch the spiritual realm, because you might see terrible things happen here, but they will be accounted for on judgment day. Verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." So, the husbandman obviously is Christ. If we're the bride, then the husbandman, of course, is Christ. And it's saying that he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. So, the precious fruit of the earth is us as the bride. That's us. He sees us as the precious fruit of the earth. So James is telling us to be patient for the coming of the Lord. And it's saying actually that he waited, the husbandman waited. So we need to be patient. And he's also waiting for the fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. And as a in a way that the fruit of the earth, as if you were a farmer, you would wait for the rain to come. And the rain is going to develop and nurture and mature the fruit, so that it's ready to be harvested. And that is what God is really doing to us. We're the fruit of the earth, and he's waiting for, he's kind of putting things in place so that we can be matured and we can be mature fruit. And like there's many allusions to this in the Bible, like the vine and the branches and the fruit that they bear, and you'll know them by their fruit and these different things. So it's always watching for that fruit. And even the thing like the serpent seed, we know that fruit is not a literal fruit, but there's actions and things that go on behind that. So we should be conscious of our position in Christ, our position in the world as the precious fruit of the earth, because that's how he sees us. And we should be looking to mature into the developed, a ripe fruit that can bear the fruits of Christ. And that's what's going to ultimately get us out of here into the next life. So God bless you. You're dismissed.